Okay, we move along into hour three of Open Lines, and our weird hotline number is 818-817-0021. So get ready for more on coasttocoastam.com. I'm getting a lot of fast blasts and emails from you who want to know more about this test that I'm taking, this chelation therapy test, where I'm going to just report the results to you as I get them, as the experiment, because maybe I can help some of you if you need it. You might remember I did the interview with Douglas Mulhall, who wrote the book Calcium Bomb, that theorizes that your arteries and other parts of your body get loaded up with calcium, and then nanobacteria is within those little calcium buildups. And they recommend a program to eradicate that. And that's what I've taken. I'm now into the third month of what could be a 6 to 8 month program, maybe more, depends on, you know, how much calcium you want to wipe out of your arteries in the rest of your system. And they give you a special calcium test. I had a lot of calcium in my system, by the way. It was like 940. And so I want to bring that down to maybe 200 or 300 if I can. So I'll just continue to give you the results. I'll probably get my second calcium test in June. So I'll give you those results. We'll see if it came down from the 940. And then if you want to go on that program as well, calciumbomb.com is Douglas's website. And check it out. But I'm using myself as your guinea pig. Let's go to the phones. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, how are you? Thank you
I'm
so
doing
much.
Fine.
This is a pleasure.
Thanks. And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Phoenix.
Okay, thanks.
And actually, I'm calling for some help. I'm kind of lost and losing ground. I've had a couple experiences when I was much younger, probably about 7 years old. I had a ghost experience, but I didn't recognize that it happened till the next day when my mom said stuff. So I didn't really have an encounter. And then again, when I was probably about 10, I saw a UFO. And then again, when I was like 25, I had another ghost experience, which I thought my uncle was maybe between spirits, between here and heaven. And I know these occurrences have happened with me in my life, but nobody else recognizes them. Nobody else that was there with me recognizes them. And I'm starting to lose focus on when it happened, how it happened. And I just want to know if there's anything I can do to bring it back, because, yes, maybe a little afraid, but not that afraid that I don't want it to happen again, because I believe that is out there, and I want it to happen to me again.
Well, how do you know it was your uncle as an apparition there?
Just one of those feelings. I was driving in a car, and I recognized that I felt a tap, and then all of a sudden I was talking to somebody in the next seat next to me, which nobody was there. But I was having a conversation, and it was about a 3 to 5 minute conversation, and I left feeling that I accomplished something out of it, that there was something more than even, you know, having a conversation with people in my life, that I knew some substance was there.
Okay, now what I don't understand, though, is what are you trying to seek? I mean, if this is happening to you, it's happening to you.
Yes,
and you shouldn't let anybody talk you out of that.
No, it's not the not talking me out of it, because I believe it, but that it hasn't happened in a while, and nobody else can recognize it with me, that I'm starting to lose focus on when it happened. I recognize that it happened, but now I'm starting to realize, oh my gosh, okay, what age was I? I'm forgetting what age or what time.
Well, the only thing I could recommend is some kind of hypnosis. You might want to, if you have a computer, do you?
Yes.
Okay, go onto our website, and again, go to show info,
show
past
info.
Guests,
okay.
and under past guests, look for a Dr. Bruce Goldberg. Everything's is cataloged in alphabetical order.
Okay.
And he is an expert in hypnotherapy. You may need that to bring you back and regress you to some of those years. And that might help you, or he may be able to recommend people in the area that you live. And, you know, because you may not want to spend the money and fly all over the place.
Sure. Can I ask you this, though? Do you think, is there a way for me to let it happen again?
Is there a way for you to let it happen
or,
again?
I mean, does it just happen? Is there something that I'm doing that it hasn't happened in so long?
You know what? Given the fact that you're not being haunted by demons, which seem to come through portals that we create or we don't, in your particular case, they seem to be just coming whenever they want, whenever they choose.
And I don't think a good thing.
And I don't think there's anything you can do to summon them up. I think if it happens, it happens.
Okay.
Good luck to you. All right, thanks.
All right, thank you, George.
Appreciate you being on the program. Next up, East of the Rockies, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Is this George?
It sure is.
Hey, George. This is Zeke from Bloomington, Indiana.
Hey, Zeke. So what's new out there?
Not a lot. Same old stuff. But what I would love to say to you is that Art made a right choice on picking you, and that Art is immortal.
Yeah, he is immortal. I'll tell you that.
All right. But what I wanted to bring up was shadow people. A friend of mine turned me on to your show a year or so ago, and I started listening, and you were speaking of shadow people in one of your episodes. And so we were working late night. It was just me and him inside this massive building, and we were painting, and I started noticing them out of my peripheral vision.
Sure.
Stepping, like, off the sides of me, and, like, I mean, I could actually feel them. And he thought I was crazy. He thought I was totally crazy. And then I mentioned it to him, and then he started noticing them, too, behind me. So, I don't know. I was just, like, really curious on, like, knowing a little bit more about shadow people.
See, I think, I'm beginning to think that they're coming from another dimension. And
really?
I'm not sure they see you as much as you see them. You know, unless you could see them staring at you or anything like that. I don't get a lot of stories about that. So there's like a warp in a dimension, but it's there. I'm curious, what color were you painting the walls?
We were doing an off-white and, like an off-white or an eggshell.
All right, and I guess that makes it easier for you to see them.
Yeah,
were they kind of like going? They were going across the wall.
Well, I could actually feel them passing behind me.
It's an eerie feeling. I had that happen to me 6 months ago, out of the facility in St. Louis, 8 feet under, because we had to put over some rock, some soundproofing. Or the place would sound as hollow as heck. And I saw one of these things go, and keep in mind, I was facing the sound barrier, and from behind me, the shadow kind of went over my head and across this thing. It was the weirdest thing. And I was broadcasting on the air when that happened.
Really?
So these things just appear, they disappear. Some people have bad experiences with them. Doesn't sound like that happened to you.
No. Well, I think that has a lot to do with how you live your life and if you have good karma or not.
Well, that could be too. But my take is we're talking about something that's in another dimension that somehow was out of kilter, and they're here.
Out.
Yeah, and then they're gone again. So keep listening. Appreciate your being on the program. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, am I on?
You are on.
Oh, cool. This is Amanda from Texas, and how are you doing?
Good, Amanda. What city in Texas?
Corpus Christi.
Okay. I'm doing fine, thanks.
I had a question about spontaneous combustion. I heard you talking about it earlier. It was bizarre because I was thinking of, this is the first day I've listened for about a year. I haven't listened to you for about a year.
And here we are. You're thinking about it. and I'm reading an email about it.
That's all of a sudden I wanted to ask you that for a long time, and I wanted to ask you if you had ever read or seen the documentary, I think it was on the Discovery Channel about a couple months ago, about a lady who, you know, they were doing a special on spontaneous combustion, and a lady was found in her home, just her top, just her bottom legs were bare. And she had been sitting in her chair, and the only other article in the room damaged, you know, beside the chair from heat, was the TV. It was completely melted in. And they didn't even focus on the TV. They were just wondering how this woman had combusted, how she had, you know, completely obliterated.
I believe in this. Yeah, I believe in that. I think something is happening within the body. And it's strange. It's bizarre. Now, the email makes sense in terms of, you know, how could this occur? The body has to get to a certain degree. I'm not sure it's 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit. That's hotter than the World Trade Center towers. But something happens to the body. I'm also not too sure about the email I read in that. I don't think it was an angel with a flaming sword that would slay someone, because most of these people are innocent people. They, you know, they're not mean or evil or anything like that. They just burst into flames. I do believe it. Question to you is you seem to be interested in this. How come?
Well, because I had just, because I was focusing on the TV, really. My husband is into electronic stuff because he's an electrician.
Okay.
And we sleep in a bedroom with a TV right by the bed. And since I was wondering, you know, just thinking and thinking about it, the TV was the only other thing obliterated in the room. It was the only other thing touched. And I was wondering, just a passing fear that what if it's some sort of electrical malfunction inside of a
good,
TV? Or
good possibility. Something. You can't rule that out.
Yeah, because of the, I don't know, tubes. I'm not a genius at anything about TVs. I was thinking perhaps it's just a special electrical charge, or how do you say?
Well, like something happened. Maybe let's say there was a bolt of lightning, and it goes through, hits the television, and she's right in front of it.
Some sort of static.
Yeah, and it got to her. What's so incredible is her. You said only her legs were there, and the rest gone, charred, melted away. Whatever happened to her body, ashes. Mm-hmm. That's
really
weird.
Horrible.
And the television was the only thing, too. And what did they say? Did they say lightning was there or there was a storm going on in the area?
They said she was possibly a smoker. Like she had been smoking cigarettes or, you know, tobacco cigarettes or something. But there's nothing, no kind of gases built up in the body that could react to cigarette lighting.
It is weird. I did a very short show once on spontaneous combustion. Might be time to do a full program on it. Okay. Hey, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right, great. Corpus Christi caller. Weird Hotline, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, sir.
Yo, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, sir. Thank you.
First of all, you make a great protege of ours. Love you guys.
Thank you.
I got an interesting story about a Bigfoot.
What happened?
Oh, my gosh. It was unreal. In fact, I still get chills and weebie-jeebies when I talk about it because it was just unreal. A friend of mine, we were taking a load of cars from Denver, Colorado, Northern California. Just happened to have a big wreck on Donner Pass, so we had to divert and go up around through Susanville, which routed us up around the big Calaveras, big trees, parks, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And back in 1977, the old trucks back then didn't move like they do today. So when you pull the hill, you really got to go slow. I mean, it's just 1 3-mile an hour, something like that. And we were making the curve, going up the steep grade. We're just yakking back and forth, and the sun had just gone down. About time to put the headlights on, you know. And as we're making this curve, there's a little bit of a clearing off to the right. And we're right in the middle of the big trees park, so there's a big, huge stump there. It's probably 15 feet around, but about 5 foot off the ground. Nice big stump. And then just a little clearing before you get back into the trees. As we're coming around that curve, I noticed the headlights showing on some eyes that were sitting on top of that stump, or so I thought. And as we approached it, you know, and the eyes, here's the thing, eyes glowed yellow. So I told me that it was an animal. Human retinas are usually glow red, you know.
Right.
So So as we got closer, I'm talking to him and said, I want to see what kind of animal this is, you know. This stinking thing was squatted down, hiding behind that stump with just his eyes peeking over the top. Since we got there, I got about within 50 feet of it. This thing stood up, and I swear to God, George, it pivoted off its left foot and took off running for this forest. And it moved quick like a man in his arm motion, you know. And just before he went into the trees, he looked back at us. And I'm like, bro, did you just see that? Let's go. Come on, truck. Let's go faster. And we just could not believe what we saw.
Oh.
He had just stood 9 to 10 feet tall, George. He was huge.
For a moment, I was going to say, maybe you saw a panther. But this thing ran off on 2 feet, right?
It pivoted off his left leg and spun off to his left like that, just like a guy would, like I would. And took off running like a sprinter, just like a sprinter would. Ran into the trees, and just before he cleared the trees, he looked back at us. I'm like, oh my God, we saw Bigfoot, you know? And I've never told that story to but just a very select few people, because I know they probably think I'm crazy.
Well, but let me tell you what's so incredible about these stories is because, you know what, I can just sense it in your voice. You're telling the truth.
You
saw something. I had a caller, just a few callers back. You know, about the Bigfoot in the cave. He's telling the truth. I mean, there's a creature out there that is fast, shifty, and we can't find it.
He's very agile, too, I'm here to tell you. He took off running quicker than I probably could.
Well, at least he seems to be afraid of us.
Well, I don't know about that guy in the cave. That sounds like Larry the Cable Guy's dad. I don't think I'd have stood there that long.
No, either would I. And I would have tossed him the apple. And I would have ran out of there at that time.
I think I'd have deposited something else instead of the apple.
Hey, by the way, what's the price of diesel these days? Still going up?
$2.80 a gallon, my friend.
Oh, my God. How high can it go?
The thing that irritates me is the byproduct of the regular gasoline. It should be half the money that gas is.
Yeah.
So there's a conspiracy behind that story, too.
We can't keep it up at those prices.
I'm telling you, something's going to change. It's all coming to a head, George.
I know it. I can feel it. You too, huh?
Absolutely. Everywhere you look, and almost in every facet of life, between fuel and spirituality and religion and politics and on, it just keeps coming.
Yeah. Well, you drive carefully and say hi to your fellow truckers for me.
Appreciate it a ton. You have a good evening.
Okay. Those guys and gals keep us going. They really do, because without them, man, we would not have anything. Again, if you need to email me, very simple, george@coasttocoastam.com. Art Bell this weekend, he's back. And then I'll be back on Monday. We've got a full load of programs for you. I shall be heading for Los Angeles and getting ready to go. The son's wedding went very, very well. The honeymoon went very well. They had a great time. They're back. All is well in the Nori clan. So I'll be back in a moment. Thanks, by the way, to all your emails and fast blasts about that situation. Appreciate that. We'll be back. If you're a fan of Ed Dames, Dr. Doom, or Glynis McCants, the numbers lady, be sure to get your hands on the May issue of the After Dark newsletter. Ed Dames, by the way, is going to tell us what he thinks of the Luciferian, Aaron Donahue. Oh, look out. You get 14 issues for the price of 12, starting with this May edition. Call 1-888-727-5505 or go online at coasttocoastam.com. To the phones we zoom, east of the Rockies. You're up on Coast to Coast. Thanks for holding. Hi there.
Hi there. Good morning, George. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
This is Arthur from Hoboken, New Jersey. I love your bumper music. And good luck with your book tour when you get it going.
As a matter of fact, I'll be up in the New York area, so make sure you come by and say
hi. Okay, no problem. Let me just tell your listeners and yourself about my experience. It was about 15 years ago, and I was working a second job on the weekends at this puppet factory in Jersey, and it was a slow Monday morning. It was raining, and I'm sitting there on my break, and I was eating a microwave meal. And we had all types of puppets, you know, some of the classic ones we had in the showcase, like the Jerry Mahoney one. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, as a matter of fact, I just saw that, one of the Jerry Moen, because he had a couple of them.
Right.
But he had it at the Magic Castle in Los Angeles, in Hollywood.
Yeah.
This thing was incredible.
Really?
Yeah.
I see. And we made custom-made puppets, and this one puppet was puppet, the model number was 923. And I was eating my meal, and I heard someone saying something. And it was talking to me, but I could, every time I would look back at this one puppet that was behind me, I could see his hair moving, but not his lips. And he would start talking about comedy, old classic TV shows. And every time I would turn back, I wouldn't see his, because he did have teeth and a smile, but I wouldn't see that, but I would see his hair moving. He had this, I don't know, long blonde hair, it was stringing hair. He had this snarky smile. And he told the most horrible jokes ever. I mean, and I, you know, this guy wanted to be, this puppet was talking to me. And I thought I was losing my mind.
Arthur, are you sure you didn't?
No, this puppet, it looked like something out of a horror show. I don't know if you've ever seen the Jackie puppet. It looked like Jackie puppet.
Or how about Chucky? Have you seen the Chucky puppet?
No, yeah, something like that.
Well, Chucky was really a doll, I guess, but he looked like a puppet.
Right, yeah, and had stringy hair, and actually some type of odor came into the room after this experience. It smelled like a firecracker.
You know, there's something about clowns and weird puppets that I don't like. Were you scared out there?
A little bit. I was, you know, right there, I was about 20, 25 years old. And, you know, I was a little bit tight. I thought, am I dreaming this? But then I smelt the odor of the fireworks. And the jokes were horrible. I mean, this guy couldn't even do stand-up. I mean, I would like to, you know, maybe if you get this in your book about my experience.
All right, it's a little late for that. The book's being published. It's being printed.
But
you can't, maybe the next go around.
I don't know if you've ever had an experience with a puppet, and I don't like clowns either. Like,
no, I gotta tell you, Arthur, I've never had a bad puppet experience.
Really?
Now, you know what a marionette is, right?
Yes, of course.
Did you make them too?
They had them, of course. They made stuff for like professional Broadway shows and TV shows. I'm not going to mention the TV shows. But it's a well-known puppet, probably the biggest puppet factory in Jersey.
I think it would be kind of strange to be locked into one of those rooms at night with all these puppets all around you.
Yes, but the thing was telling jokes. It was like Jack Benny on stage. You know? And no one believes me. Everything says, you're dreaming, Artie. You're dreaming. You know, please, you're
dreaming. Was it just a one-night stand for the puppet, or did
yes,
he...
Yes, that was it. It was only one night. I mean, there was like Milton Berle, Jack Benny, and this thing was...
Were the other puppets gathered around? Were they applauding?
No, because behind me was only one puppet. It was model number 923. I don't know what this means.
And how long ago was this, Arthur?
15 years ago, George.
Is the factory still around?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure it is. It's a well-known company. They make stuff for, like, PBS, I believe, or something like that.
So why did you buy the puppet or take him out of there or something?
I don't know. After that, I only worked there about 6 months. It gave me the creeps, you know? I don't like clowns or puppets, especially puppets that telling bad jokes.
There's nothing worse than a bad joked puppet. Thanks, Arthur. Appreciate it. Weird Hotline, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
How you doing? How you doing?
Good.
Hi, my name is Derek, and I'm calling from Boston.
Uh-huh.
I have two things. One, since I'm on the Weird Hotline, I'll tell you that first. I had what could possibly be an alien call the police.
An alien called the police from your apartment?
Yes.
All right. Fire away there, Derek. What happened?
Okay. When I was 24 years of age, I'm totally blind, by the way. When I was 24 years old, I was living in Boston, and I'm an insomniac, so I only go to sleep when I'm very tired. Woke up from a deep sleep, and I feel something on my bed. It feels like a potato, but it's moving. Well, that day, for the rest of the day, my thumb's hurting tremendously. Don't know, I never had any problem with that hand before. 12 years later, move out of town, come back into town, across town, different building, and I fall into a deep sleep. I wake up as if I'm drugged, and I reach for the phone, and I hear this chirping sound, like something just chirps at me. It was a very angry sound, and I just jump back. I said, that's strange. I fall back to sleep. I wake up to a knocking on the door, and it's the police department saying I just dialed 911. I can't make any sense of it, but what I later find out is I have something that's in my hand that moves from my elbow to my wrist. Doctors can't find it, but I can feel it underneath my skin.
How big is it?
It's about the size of a pea.
And it's not the, you know, some bone fragment or anything like that?
No, there's no bone fragments, and right now it's right in my wrist.
Can you see it under your skin?
I'm totally blind.
But can you feel it?
I can feel it. But the doctors, they say it just feels like it's a vein. They x-ray it, they can't see anything.
Well, how do you know, though, that it's something unusual then?
Because it moves from time to time from my wrist up to my elbow. When it moves up to my elbow, it gives my arm tremendous pain.
Man, that is strange. Well,
that is
strange.
I
wonder if we should get you in touch with Roger Lear. You know, he's a doctor who looks at these implants.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard him on your show. I have one other thing.
Yes, sir.
Dimitri, I may know what happened. Dimitri mentioned everyone will know what happened. Think about Judas. It was released and aired on Monday, I believe.
That is intriguing.
There you go.
That is intriguing because if I recall what he said, it didn't necessarily mean death or massive destruction, which unfortunately we always think about when we hear these things now.
Is death to the Christians whose faith may get shaken.
That's an interesting concept.
And by the way, Judas Iscariot is supposed to be a bad end, the king of the pit, who will rise again.
All right, thanks. I'm glad you're listening to Coast to Coast.
Take care.
Appreciate you being part of the program. But definitely try to get a hold of Roger Lear. I wonder if that could be it. You know, when Dimitri, the devil channeler, said that we would know there'd be a major something that you would bow down to me and the event would occur before or on Friday the 13th. I wonder if it could be this revelation that Judas ended up being a friend of Christ under the gospel of Judas. That's interesting. I didn't think about that at all. Let's go to first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there. I guess she has hung up. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, Mr. Norrie.
Yes, sir. Welcome.
Yes. Is this the screener George or the actual George?
This is the actual George.
Okay. I was just kidding. That poor woman. This is Zach calling from Dallas, Texas, and I fast-blasted you a couple of times. My first real quick question is, what is exactly the wild card line? You guys always talk about it, and I'm a pretty long-time listener, and never heard it explained on the air.
Wild card line started by Art. Basically, anything goes on that line. You never know what's going to pop up. And because his program originally started in Las Vegas, where, you know, you have wild cards and things like that in various poker games, he came up with that idea. And so we have carried it through. And it's a fun line. You never know what's going to happen. Of course, on West, East, or first time, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'll take these two answers off the air if you have time for both. Being in Dallas, I was wondering what the coast-to-coast experience was with the JFK conspiracy. I'm not a huge conspiracy theorist, but I think that JFK, seeing it firsthand is just incredible. I don't know if that's too cliched for you guys, or you've covered it, and I haven't been listening, or whatever.
And I do a JFK assassination show around the assassination anniversary every year, and we bring in various guests, and I try to change them every year. My belief is that more than one lone gunman acted on that day. I think it was a conspiracy to do Kennedy in for a number of reasons. Cuba, the mob, the CIA, Vietnam. There was a lot of things going on at the time. They wanted him out. I do not believe Oswald acted alone.
And are you a LBJ guy as far as the possibility of LBJ?
That he was involved?
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I've heard those theories, and I've seen a documentary on that possibility, but I do not believe that he was part of it.
Great. And my final question is, without being nosy, if you could update us on Mr. Bell, just because I hear that he's doing well and all of those things, but, you know, also that he's stepping back a little bit. And on his bio, I read something about him having starting out with such controversial shows that he received death threats. And I don't know, he just seems to be a very kind of mysterious yet very fascinating man. I was wondering if you could talk about that a little bit.
Well, let me ask you without dwelling on this. You do know what happened to his wife, right?
No.
Oh, all right. Well, that explains your question then. Just very briefly, his wife Ramona passed away several months ago.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm obviously, so I can't tell you how devastating that would be to anybody.
Right.
Very devastating to Art. How is he doing personally? I have not talked to him in some time. I have emailed him before he went on his vacation or his sabbatical. And he's just patching his life and putting it together. He will be back this weekend for the first time in 3 weeks. So I urge you all to tune in and listen to the master back on the airwaves again. But that's what happened. And it is, you know, I guess there are still some people out there that don't know what happened. But enough of that. Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Mommy.
Hi. Welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm calling from Norwalk, California, and my wife, Inez, said to say hi, and she loves you, too.
Well, tell her hi.
She says hi, Inez. George, my story takes place in Roswell, New Mexico.
Okay.
And it was actually on that same base where apparently they, I guess, stored that UFO. It's about shadow people. Okay, my parents had bought in a house out there. They auctioned them off a few years back. And I was just down to sleep one night, and something in my mind just told me to wake up, but don't move. Just open your eyes. It was kind of weird, you know.
So sure.
I did. I opened my eyes, and man, there was a shadow thing right in front of my bed, right where my face was. You know, I had blue eyes, and I was trying to focus on the face. It was just pitch black. Finally, I kind of got mad. I thought it was my brother maybe playing a joke, and I kind of got up real quick, and I saw my arm and said, "Danny, get out of here." My arm went through it, and I watched it turn and walk down the hall and leave, and it just kind of dissipated.
Isn't this weird this would happen in Roswell, New Mexico, of all places?
Exactly. Yeah. And I only saw it that one time, but it was really scared, you know, just like, wow.
What kind of shape did it have?
It had just like a regular man features. It was pretty tall. You know,
okay, so it didn't have any alien features, shadow-wise, at least.
No, you could see the arms, you could see the shoulders, the head, and the upper torso. I don't remember looking at the legs too much because I was too much up, you know, looking at the face trying to get see it. I couldn't. It was black.
If somebody had said to you, "You're nuts, you didn't see anything," what would you tell them?
Well, I hope it don't happen to you because it wasn't a fun experience. That's all I could say. How can you explain it? You know, my dad was from that town, and he had experiences of stuff like that. And he said over time you start kind of second-guessing yourself, too, asking, like, did I really see that, you know?
You think there was any connection with the crashed UFO?
You know what? I don't know. My grandfather was from that town since, like, the 1920s, and apparently he was a rancher. And he had known people in that area, and apparently that same farmer, I mean, the rancher that found those pieces.
Mac Brazel, yep.
Yes, apparently, from what my great-grandfather said to, you know, my grandfather to my dad, that, it was true. He didn't see with his eyes, but he knew the guy who did see it. And the guy said vaguely information that it was real. That's basically all the guy told him.
Gosh, I would love to have been around then.
Yeah, that's for sure.
See what happened. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, George, so much.
Appreciate you being part of the program. We're getting close to the top of this. This has got to be one of the fastest open line nights I've ever experienced. I mean, this night is just zooming by. Those of you who are on hold, just stay there. I'll get to you at the top of the hour. And for the rest of next hour, those of you who are still calling, don't give up. And we have that special hotline number for weird stories only on this program, of course. 818-817-0021. If you need to email me, that's simple. That's always george@coasttocoastam.com. Go to our website quite often. Look under the hot stories that Lex and Sean post on a daily basis, 24/7, always updating the website. A lot of great information on guests. Their websites are always linked, and it's just a great tool. You know, I wake up every morning before I hit my emails. I'll go to the coasttocoastam.com website. Lex and Sean also do recaps of the program. Those of you who are not StreamLink members, and of course you get podcasting every morning, but if you're just listening to the show, you can go to the website. We also post the bumper music on the website under the recap all the time, every night. So those of you who email me and you say, what was this song? It's always there. It's on the website every night under recap.